And today we're going to delve deep into this great truth and make sure we understand what God means by all things. Amen? Beautiful truth, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So today, we're going to focus on two phrases, all things work together, that's our title, and that word conformed. And make sure we understand this truth that God's getting across to us. Let's pray. Lord, we love You so much. We thank You for Jesus and all that He's done for us and continues to do for us. And Lord, I pray that we would honor Him this morning. Lord, not only in the giving of the word, but in the receiving of the word, that we would push aside distractions. We would focus on hearing from the Holy Spirit in this powerful book. And Lord, growing in our faith and our understanding of Your plan for our lives. May You be pleased and honored. And we thank You so much and love You in Jesus' name. Amen. So He starts off by saying, we know. Amen. If you're a Christian, you know some things. Not just because someone told you, but because you read them in this amazing book that God gave us, the Bible. Amen. We know some things. There's a lot of things we don't know, and we won't know until we get to heaven. But there's some things we definitely know. And one of them is, if you're a born-again Christian, you have eternal life. Amen? 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And I hope everyone in this room can say today, I know that I have eternal life. Not that you've been to church, not that you've been baptized or taught Sunday school, but you know that you have eternal life. You know that you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you've repented of your sin, and you've received salvation. And you know that you will live forever with the Lord. If you're a Christian, you know that God will keep your salvation once you have it. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I offer suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I hope that you know that God will keep your salvation, your eternal life. There's a lot of things that we know, but another one is 1 John 3:2, and that is that one day we will be like Jesus. We will see Jesus and we will be like Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. These are some things that Christians know. Amen? That we have eternal life, and that eternal life is eternal, that we are secure in Jesus Christ, and that we have this hope that Jesus is coming to get us, and that one day we will see Him and be like Him. But in addition to that, God wants us to know that all things work together. And I myself have learned a lot this week that sometimes we automatically, when we hear that phrase, we just think trials. But it's more than trials. It's every aspect of our Christian life. God is going to use it for our good, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. All things, amen? All things work together for good. Now, even some of the Old Testament saints understood this. If you look at Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we have here the example of Joseph when he met his brothers. And look what he said to them. This was after he had been sold into slavery by his brothers. This was after he had been in jail, falsely accused. Now he's second in command at Egypt. His brothers come to get some grain. And He has the golden opportunity to exact revenge on his brothers for mistreating him so badly when he was younger. Look what he says instead here in Genesis 50:20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto what? Good. Isn't that beautiful? That Joseph was able to push aside any resentment and say, God was in control. God meant this unto good. Amen? Joseph knew how to live this truth, that all things work together. Let's look one more, Psalm 119:71. This is David, after he had been afflicted. And I want you to look what he said, Psalm 119, verse 71. David said, it is good for me. It's good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It's good for me that I've been afflicted. Think about what he's saying. None of us enjoy affliction. None of us enjoy trials. But he said, this is good for me. Joseph said, this is good. God meant it unto good. And so God wants us to know this. He wants us to know it in our Christian lives, that all things work together for good. Now in Luke 18, if you want to turn there quickly, Jesus gave us a parable. The point of the parable, he even gave us the point of the parable. He doesn't always do this, but in this particular one, he actually told us why he was going to tell the parable. Then he told us the parable. And then he asked a rhetorical question at the end, which is very sobering. Luke 18:1, when Jesus has spoken these words, he went forth unto his disciples. That's John. Sorry. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Amen. So I'm going to tell you a parable because I don't want you to stop praying. And on down in verse 7. And shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? The parable is teaching us God's not going to always answer immediately. God's not always going to give us what we ask for because he knows what's good for us and what isn't. But don't stop praying. Amen? But look at the question he asks in verse 8. I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find people that haven't quit? Well, God didn't answer my prayer, and I prayed it for 2 years. Therefore, I quit. Well, this trial is just too heavy. Therefore, I quit. Shall he find those who just kept serving God despite what life brought? Amen? And that is the all things work together for good. That is the lesson he wants us to know and understand, but live in our Christian lives. So I just want to walk through some Bible examples, and then we'll look at verse 29 together. But I want us to think at it from the standpoint of Romans 8:28. So let's just go, we'll do them in scripture order, Psalm 27, verse 14. Which ties in with what we just read in Luke 18. But I want us, again, each of these scriptures, I want us to stop and contemplate them in the light of all things work together for good, that we might be conformed. Look at, notice 27:14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, a lot of us know this verse. But let's look at it in the light of Romans 8:28. What is he saying? That we will never truly be able to experience this strength that God promises until we learn to wait. Now, waiting is hard, isn't it? But we're not going to learn this beautiful lesson of being strengthened by God while we wait unless we're willing to wait and learn the lesson that God might be teaching us at that particular time, that he might conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Wait be strengthened. Amen. He says the same thing in Isaiah 40:31, doesn't he? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait, strength. Well, we got to wait. Let's look at another one. Psalm 34:19. Look at maybe 10 examples this morning in light of Romans 8:28, and then we'll dive into the passage more. But notice Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now, we all want deliverance, amen? But look what he says. Affliction. Many are the afflictions. We can't truly experience and know God's deliverance until we go through the afflictions that require deliverance. Think about how that comes across for us as Christians. When the afflictions come, what does God want us to do? Quit? No. He wants us to trust Him. Amen? And to learn the lesson that He's going to deliver us one day from that affliction. Now, we don't know when, but He will. And we'll never enjoy this lesson of deliverance unless we're willing to go through the affliction. Amen? Let's look at another one, Psalms 46, verse 1. Again, these are just examples. We could do this all day long. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So we can't really understand and experience God's help, God's refuge, God's strength, unless we go through some troubles. Why would God put us through troubles? That we might be conformed to the image of His Son. And as we go through the troubles, look what God's going to do. Be our refuge, be our strength, be our help. We got to go through the troubles to get the lesson. Let's look at another one, Psalm 55:22. And yes, there will be some New Testament ones as well. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. We all want the sustenance. Amen? But you can't learn sustenance until you have the burdens. So is God going to give burdens? Yes. You can't learn to cast burdens if you don't have any. You see how it works? In light of all things work together for good. Proverbs 16:32. Often people come and ask for counseling about their temper. God says, He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Slow to anger. Now, how can we learn to be slow to anger unless God brings things into our lives that try to incite us to anger? The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not, doesn't it? Ephesians 4:26. If our life is just all a bed of roses and nothing ever pushes us to be angry, then we can't learn to control our anger, can we? All things work together for good. Let's move on to Isaiah 54:17, and then we'll jump from there to the New Testament. Isaiah, I know there's a lot of scriptures here, but I just want us to see that when God says all things, He means all things. All things. Every part of our Christian life, from the day we get saved until the day He takes us to glory, either through death or the rapture, is a lesson. Is God teaching and conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ? Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, how can we learn this one? We have to be attacked. We can't learn that no weapon will prosper against us or no tongue can condemn us, unless we're attacked first, can we? We can't learn that God, look what he promises. This is his heritage. He promises protection. But we can't understand that protection unless we need it. That's just another example. Speaking of that, go to Luke 6. And this is talking about persecution. Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Luke 6, 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. This is talking about being persecuted for being a Christian. We can't learn this rejoicing. We can't learn this amazing reward that we're earning in heaven unless we're persecuted. We have to go through the persecution. That God might conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Let's move on to 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. What does God want us to learn? That he is the comforter. Amen? That he will comfort his children. But you can't learn that comfort unless you go through these tribulations and troubles that require comfort, that he might conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. He said the same to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, if you want to turn there quickly, in verse 9. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Paul said, Lord, I can't serve you with this thorn. God said, yes, you can. I need you to be weakened so that you get your strength from me. So we can't learn to rely on and receive and walk in the strength of God until we go through the trials that weaken us, that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And we could go on, Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We can't learn the power of forgiveness unless we're hurt. We have to go through the hurts to learn how beautiful forgiveness is. God, look at 1 John 4, verse 12. God wants our love, this love that we have from him. The fruit of the Spirit is, number one, love. 1 John 4:12, what does God want? He wants his love perfected in us. Notice 1 John 4:12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is what God is trying to do in our Christian lives, is perfect us, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. So what do you think he's going to do but bring people into our lives that are hard for us to love, so that we might learn, and so that our love is perfected? And then we'll finish at James chapter 1. This will be our final example. James chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So what is God teaching us? If we don't have the temptations, then we can't learn the patience, can we? If we don't have the temptations, we can't learn to have victory over temptation, which only comes from God. So now let's go back to our passage, Romans 8, 28. Now we've talked about this phrase, all things, not just trials, but attacks, and hurts, and troubles, and burdens and having to wait and persecutions and temptations, all of it, all things work together for good to who? Them that love God. Well, I'm a Christian. Of course I love God. Well, according to God, love is what we do, not what we think or feel. Amen? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says in the same chapter, John 14, he that loveth me not keepeth not my word. So he's talking here to Christians who are striving to obey his commands so that we might be conformed. Amen? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James 1:12. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous, 1 John 5:3. So God said in this beautiful passage, all things, and these are just some examples, God is going to use everything that he allows in our lives for good. And what is his ultimate purpose? Verse 28, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you're born again, you're one of the called. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Now, you and I both know if something needs to be reshaped or reconformed, it takes some pressure, doesn't it? It takes some pushing or maybe some heat to reconform something. Well, that's what God's doing in our lives every day. With everything that he allows in our lives, he is doing it for our good. Amen? He is conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. These things are all part of that process. Let me give you some examples. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And I want you to see that God makes no mistakes, and that no matter what he allows in our lives, he is teaching us something. He's conforming us. It's for our good. Amen. Romans 5, verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing, Romans 5, 3, that tribulation, look at that next word, worketh patience. So tribulations work in our Christian lives. It doesn't feel like it at the time, maybe, but it's always the case because all things work together for good. Let's look at another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Look what he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, what's that next word? Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There it is again. Our afflictions work. They are for our good. 1 Peter 5:10. We'll just look at that one more. 1 Peter 5:10. The Bible says, the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Look at this next phrase. After that you suffered a while, make you what? Perfect. Suffering is used to perfect us. All things are for our good. All things are for the express purpose of God conforming us to the image of his Son, as we just read in Romans 8:29. Why? Why would we go through all of this? Think about it. If other than the need to witness, which is extremely important, why would God leave us here after we get saved? Heaven's done. We're going there. No matter what, the devil can't stop it, can he? He can't undo it. We're going to heaven. So why leave us here to fight all of these battles? Trials and afflictions and tribulation and temptations. Well, again, number one, he wants us to spread the gospel, because that's his plan. But number two, he is conforming us. to the image of Jesus Christ. He is working little by little, because that's what it takes, because we're so stubborn and hard to work with, right? You can't just do it all at once. It takes little at a time, a trial here, an attack here, a persecution here, an affliction here, whatever it might be, waiting. He's always chipping away and conforming. It's all for our good. And you know, if we can learn to have that perspective on our Christian lives, I believe we can really grow faster. Because a lot of times we resist the confirmation, don't we? Conformation, not confirmation. We resist it. A trial comes and we get angry at God. Or we say, I'm not going to serve God anymore, or whatever. You can do that, but God's just going to say, well, okay, you didn't get that one. Now let me bring another. Let me bring lesson number 735 into your life. See if you get it this time. He's not going to stop. Because he has an end goal, doesn't he? For all of us. And he knows how to get us there. He knows what it's going to take to get us there. Which is, when you think about it, how beautiful is that? That our Father loves us that much that he's just going to keep working on us. That old bumper sticker from 50 years ago. He's still working on me. It's true, isn't it? He is still working on us, and he will keep working on us until we're not here anymore. In the meantime, we need to not only believe this truth, but we need to know it in our lives. We need to know that next trial, that next affliction, that next opportunity to have to wait on God to do something. We need to stop and know God knows what he's doing. All things. Everything that God is allowing in my life is for my good. God is conforming me to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. How fast we get there is always up to us. But God's not going to stop because he loves us. He wants what's best for us. We're going to spend forever with him in heaven anyway. So why not just enjoy the conforming instead of fight against it like Israel did? And let God slowly but surely make us more like Jesus. The Bible says, he that saith he abideth in him, 1 John 2:6, ought to walk as he walked. That's what God wants, that we walk like Jesus. Anybody want to raise their hand and say they walk exactly like Jesus? None of us can. God still needs to work on us, amen? He's got more stuff to change, more stuff to remove, more stuff to add. More conforming. So accept it and believe it and live it. Amen. All things work together. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We are so blessed that you love us that much, Lord, that you're so active in our lives, that you're not a passive God. And for that, we just say praise God. Lord, that you're always working, you're always conforming. That it's all for our good. And I pray, Lord, that we would not only believe that, but we would live it. And the next thing that comes into our lives, we would recognize it's from you and that you have a purpose and it's working. I pray, Lord, if there's someone in our service not born again, I did not preach to them, but that they would realize they must be born again. You made that very clear. They must understand they're a sinner. They must understand that sin condemns us to hell and that Jesus paid the price and is willing to forgive our sins if we'll come to him and ask and receive the eternal life that he promises. I pray, Lord, that they would settle that even today. Those of us that are Christians, Lord, may we not play games, but may we instead recognize that you're always doing what's best for us. And Lord, if we've complained or been frustrated with you, we need to repent of that. But have your will and way in our hearts. We love you so much and pray all this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.